I mean, people are jumping the curb to get in. Amen. Hello. Had two cops just to control traffic tonight. I mean, we could say that for a little bit there. But anyway. 1 John chapter 5, beginning of verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, and in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. I want to talk to you tonight about getting real. Getting real. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank You and we praise You and we magnify Your holy and precious name. God, we give You the glory, Lord, and we just thank You, Lord, and we praise You. Lord, it's Yours already. We can't give what's already Yours, but Lord, we acknowledge it. We, Lord, we recognize it. God, and we just, Lord, just acknowledge that You are glorious, that You are holy, that You are worthy to be praised tonight. And God, we humble ourselves before You tonight. And God, we ask for the anointing of Your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, God, to speak to our minds, to speak to our spirits in every aspect from Your Word. Your Word is spirit and is life. Your Word is spirit and it's truth, oh God. Lord, speak to us tonight. Lord, let us hear Your voice. Holy Spirit, take that which You gave from the throne, Lord Jesus, and give it to the Holy Spirit that He may impart Your truth to us tonight. And so, Lord, we give You the praise. Lord, let our hearts be open and our minds receptive. Touch me, Your servant, to speak what You have laid upon our heart tonight. And we give You the praise. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Getting real. It said that we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we may know Him who is true. Say true. And we are in Him who is true and in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. In the original language, the word true means that which it has not only the name and resemblance, but the real nature corresponding to the name. I like that definition. That which has not only the name and resemblance, but the real nature corresponding to the name. In every respect corresponding to the idea signified by the name. Real, true, genuine. Thus the term getting real, being true. Webster's defines the word real means fixed, permanent, immovable things, not artificial, not fraudulent, not fake, not illusionary or false, but genuine, real. As this scripture has said, we know Jesus has come and He has made us aware of what He came to do in order that we may know Him as well as the Father and have eternal life. One thing is for sure, God is true, God is real. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus is true and Jesus is real. The Holy Ghost is true and the Holy Ghost is real. And if we are in Him, if we are saved, sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost in right relationship and have Him dwelling in us, then you and I must be real as well. Can you say amen? Amen. This world we live in has become and is so distorted, so much in a state of confusion. It has lost all sense of what is real and absolute. One of the terms you hear so many people saying, if you try to watch the news, it's loaded with what? Fake news. It's hard to get it from, figure out the right source. Can you say amen? There's no real concept of right and wrong. No real concept of moral or immoral. I'm talking about in the world view. No real concept of pure justice. Our society teaches an amoral philosophy. As long as it doesn't affect anyone else, it's all right. Our society teaches that there are no absolutes. We live in a society that has the attitude, if it feels good, do it. There are games that are termed, quote unquote, virtual reality, which is in itself a lie as well. It is just an imitation of that which is real. And that is, if it's an imitation, then it's not what? Real. But yet they're calling it virtual what? Reality. And I'm not knocking those games. If you play them, that's good for you, whatever. I'm just talking about how our society labels things. Even some of our leading politicians can't seem to determine morality and immorality, honesty or dishonesty, what is real and what is not real. And we wonder why we're in the shape we're in. Now, I think we're in improvement in a lot of ways as a nation. I thank God for America. But there are those that I believe that are sick of compromise. I believe there are those that are sick of anything goes. I believe there are those that are sick of do it if it feels good, because they have tried that and they truly wind up empty. They truly wind up shallow and they truly wind up cold. They're looking for something that is real. People are looking for something that has some substance. Can I tell you today what they're looking for is they're looking for a genuine Savior. They're looking for Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Who is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. They're looking for the real Jesus. Can you say amen? And may they find Him where? In us. We need to be real Christians, walking in real faith, living by the real Word, by the power of a real Savior and of a real Holy Spirit, making a real difference in this real world that has lost all sense of reality. Truth and what is true is under attack, sad to say, even in our religious circles. I am amazed. I am amazed at some of the stuff going on, quote unquote, in our religious circles. You have a pope that says, number one, that homosexuality is all right and that God made them that way. You have a pope that has denied the existence of hell. Now, the Vatican came out and said he didn't really say that, but if you look at the man's transcript with the conversation, he did say that. He didn't. The Vatican has come out and tried to say, well, he really didn't say that about homosexuality, but if you look at the transcript, he did say. And the very fact that they're doing that is confusion as well. Therefore, the Bible says God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Amen. Then you've got these morons. That's what come out in the last couple of days. It said that God told him he needs to buy him a $54 million jet because Jesus wouldn't ride a donkey if he lived on the face of the earth this time. I want to tell you, Jesus had got more done with a borrowed donkey than that man could have done with a whole fleet of jets. It's funny, but it's not funny. Because you've got people that are lost that are looking at that, and these people are supposed to be the leaders. And therefore, what do? We can't throw up our hands. You know what we need to do? We need to be real. We need to be a real Jesus in the real world. Let Jesus work through us in real ways. Can you say amen? Because there's some real things going on. Can you say amen? I'm not just getting on my soapbox. Is this all right tonight? Hello. We need to be, I'm going to say that again, real Christians walking in real faith by a real world, by the real Word, in the real, by the power of the real Savior and the real Holy Spirit, making a real difference in this real world that has since lost all sense of reality. And as a Christian, we can hold on to our experiences in the past, which have been real and drawn us closer to God. But more than anything, we must concentrate on that which is real that lies ahead of us. Can you say amen? So we can be an example of what a real Christian is to those who are lost and dying and hurting in this world. There's some things that are real that's coming upon us. Can you say amen? And already in existence. Number one, heaven is real. Heaven is real. Jesus mentions heaven over 110 times in the New Testament. So if he talks about it that much, guess what? It's a real place. The scripture gives us evidence of people that have witnessed heaven. One of the early evidences of it is we see Jacob when he leaves his mom and dad's house and he has to go work for his uncle Laban for several years. He goes and apparently he must have left in a hurry because he didn't even have a pillow. He took a stone and made it for a pillow and he laid down there. And the Bible says this in Genesis chapter 28, verse 12. Then he dreamed and behold, a ladder was set up on earth and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Jacob awoke from his dream and he says, this is the very gate of where? Heaven. And I did not know it. This is the, in other words, he knew heaven was what? Real. And it changed his life. Isaiah, the great prophet, in Isaiah chapter 6, gets a glimpse of God sitting on the throne, or sitting on his throne in the throne room of heaven. Isaiah 6:1 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Paul has an, in the body or out of body, he wasn't even aware of it himself. He said he was caught up to the third heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body or I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. Say the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. What does it mean when he said he was called up to the third heaven? Well, there's three main heavens. This atmosphere that you and I breathe is the first heaven. The atmosphere of the space, the stars, the moon, the galaxies, that's the second heaven. Oh, but the third heaven. That's where the Lord is. Can you say amen? Amen? That's where the throne room of God is. Paul said, I lived in the first, I passed through the second, and got caught up where? To the third. Can you say amen? He said, I heard things that were so inexpressible, I was unable to utter them. John, on the Isle of Patmos that day, after he gets the message about the seven churches, the Lord speaks to him, or the voice speaks to him. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, and after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first verse voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Come up where? Come up here to heaven. Jesus talked about heaven. We have those that got a glimpse of heaven. Can I tell you, we're headed for a place called what? Heaven. Can you say amen? The voice even told John who would and who wouldn't enter this place called heaven. Revelation 21, verse 27. But there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. How do you get your name written in the Lamb's book of life? When you're born again, when you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The disciples, and this is the Wednesday night group, the disciples went out, and I love this account. The disciples went out, and they said, came back, and they told the Lord Jesus, they said, man, even the demons were subject to us through your name. And Jesus looked at him and said, you know, guys, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He said, but guys, that's awesome, but guess what? He said, even though the demons are subject to you and you've got all that power, don't glory in this. But if you're going to glory, if you're going to get excited about anything, if you're going to rejoice about anything, rejoice and be glad that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Yes. You know, if you ever get down or discouraged, if you ever feel like something's not going right in your life, if you'll just remember that you're saved, if you'll just remember that you're born again, you may not have the greatest name in town. You may not have the name with the most money at the bank. But if you've got your name written on the book of life in the Lord, in the heaven, can you say amen? You've got it made. Can you say amen? Yeah. If you're going to rejoice, rejoice, because your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad my name's written there. Can you say amen? Now ask your neighbor, is your name written there? Amen. Got to make sure. He said, told us those who would make heaven. Then he said, those who would not. Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In Revelation 20, verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life. was cast into the lake of fire. Can I tell you, heaven is a real place. But if we don't make heaven, there's only one alternative. Amen. And guess what? It's just as real as heaven. Amen. Hell is real. Touch your neighbor and say, hell is real. Jesus spoke about hell 16 times in the New Testament. Jesus spoke about hell. I don't give a rip what the Pope says. I think he's one of Satan's strongest tools right now. I'm going to say that again. Anytime someone takes the truth and distorts it, Paul made this statement. He said, though I or an angel of God preach any other gospel to you than that which has been preached, let him be accursed. Folks are putting a lot of falsehood out there. Friend, hell is a real place. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14. Hell is growing. You know, how many of you seen that, all those things going on in Hawaii? Now, I'm not saying that's where hell is, because all, you know, it's just, I'm not saying that. But does that make you think something like that? Because especially I think about this scripture. I don't know if that's why I included it. Therefore, hell has enlarged itself and opened its mouth beyond measure, their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he who is jubilant shall descend into it, has enlarged herself and made her mouth wide open. Hell is a real place. It enlarges itself daily. Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 41, hell was not prepared for man. Then he will say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. This place was prepared for the devil and his angels, but men choose to go there for rejecting Christ and walking contrary to his purposes and plans and to his word. Hell is a real place. Jesus gives a tremendous account. It's not a parable, it's an account of the story of Lazarus and the rich man, and how the rich man fared sumptuously. And Lazarus the beggar, not Lazarus the one that was laid in the tomb for 4 days, but Lazarus the beggar was laid at his gate full of sores, and no one would give him. The rich man probably threw away more food that could supply for Lazarus, but he wouldn't even give us, and the dogs would come and lick his sores. But it talked about that both of them died. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torments in hell, or Hades, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abram afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. He had just got there and already he wants out. He had just got there and already he's wanting relief. He had just got there and already he's in tremendous torment. Can you say amen? But Abraham basically told him, you know the story, son, remember that always blew me away. Abraham called him what? Somewhere along the line, the rich man recognized Abraham. And Abraham recognized the rich man. Somewhere along the line, there was a what? A relationship. But somewhere along the line, that relationship had been what? Severed. The Bible talks about hell as a place where the worm dies. Not that worm is your memory. Because Abraham told the rich man, he says, son, remember. You remember what else the rich man cried out? He said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my back home. Send Lazarus to my brothers. I've got 5 brothers. Send him to preach to them so they won't come here. And Abraham makes a prophetic statement about the resurrection. He says, son, he said, if they will not believe Moses and the prophets, if they will not believe the word, neither will they believe though one has risen from the dead. Well, that's a powerful statement. If they will not believe Moses, if they won't believe the word, neither will they believe though if one has risen from the dead. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. Hell is a real place. Can you say amen? I wouldn't want to do it, but if we could roll back the caverns of hell and hear the cries of the damned one time, you wouldn't have to worry about half-hearted or backslid Christians anymore, for we would see how real hell is. You've got some denominations that are saying that hell is not a real place. Brother Pope made the statement that basically there's no such thing as punishment in hell. Sinners just disappear. No. Hell is described as a place of outer darkness, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm dies not. It's an unquenchable fire. It's pure torment. Hell is real. Heaven's real. Hell's real. Death is real. Death is as real as life. What's the old saying? Two things you can count on, death and what? Amen. I don't know if taxes are real. Sometimes when you got to pay them, you feel like they are. But death is real. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 2 says this. It's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to be born and a time to die. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. That is an appointment that none of us will be late for. That is an appointment that none of us will be late for. It's appointment appointed unto man once to die. Let me ask you something. Can you change that appointment? Can a person change that appointment? Absolutely. They can change that appointment, but how they live and how they conduct their life. If they walk in disobedience, you can rush it a point by the way you live your life and the decisions you make and what you get involved in. Should the Lord tarry, some of us very quite possibly will face this thing called death. It's real. See, the Bible tells us that this life is but a what? Vapor. That appears for a little time and then vanishes away. But we've got to make a decision here in this life where we're going to spend eternity when we die, when this old physical body dies. Can you say amen? Amen. Our soul never dies. Whether we're going to spend it in a real place called heaven or that other real place called what? Why? Because death is real. Since the first of the year, I've done over 7 funerals. Guess what? Death is real. Death is real. But we don't have to be afraid if we know the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. We've got to choose while we are yet living where we will spend eternity. It's real. The fourth thing is real is the rapture of the church is real. We have a real word and a real word from the Lord concerning this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 15. So many times we just wait till funerals to read this, but we shouldn't just wait till funerals. We should encourage ourselves. In fact, the Bible says we are to comfort one another with these words. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. Where did this word come from? It's the word of the Lord. That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, say caught up, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. In other words, our loved ones that have gone on before that knew the Lord, their bodies are in the ground, but their souls are where? With the Lord. But we are going to have, just like Jesus did, a glorified body. And the Bible talks about when Jesus comes back, he's going to bring the spirit, the souls of our departed loved ones that knew him. He's going to bring them with them. And the Bible says the dead in Christ shall be raised first. Their resurrected bodies are going to be reunited with their spirit bodies. Can you say amen? Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up If you wonder where we get that word rapture, well, it's not in the Bible. Yes, if you look in the Latin, it is. It's called rapture. That's where we get that word caught up. That's where we get the word rapture from. We're caught up together with the Lord in the air. We're going to be caught up. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The rapture is real, and I believe we're part of the rapture generation. You said, Brother Doss, do you think really and truly that's just talking about after you die and you go on to be with the Lord? No, I believe that's going to happen one of these days. There's going to be a lot of graveyards going to get messed up. Then all of a sudden, there's going to be a lot of vehicles driving down the road. They're going to lose their drivers. Some planes are going to lose their pilots because they're going to be born again brothers and sisters in the Lord that are driving those things. We're going to be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds. Can you say amen? And so shall we ever be with the Lord? Can you say amen? We're going to be with our loved ones who have gone on before. We're going to be in the presence of the King. There's going to be no more Satan. There's going to be no more devil. There's going to be no more sorrow. There's going to be no more pain. It's going to be a glorious time. The Bible says God's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes because we're going to be there. Can I tell you, it's more real of a place than where we're at right now. This is temporary. But there is going to be what? What's the old song say? When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing his praise than when we've just begun. Heaven's, the rapture is a real place and a real time. And it's coming. We've got to be real. We are the rapture generation. And I pray that you're ready. The fifth thing, judgment is real. We read that scripture a few moments ago, Hebrews 9:27. And as it is appointed for men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Every one of us are going to face judgment. Well, there's two places of judgment. Romans chapter 14, beginning at verse 10, said, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us, say us, shall give an account of himself to God. For the believer, we are going to be standing at what's known as the Bema seat of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to have to give an account of the things that are done in our body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear, say all appear, before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We're going to make heaven, but there's going to be a time of reward and losses according to what our motives were. And God will be perfect in his judgment. Can you say amen? Amen. See, that's why else did Jesus say, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust does corrupt and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? Where moth and rust don't corrupt and where thieves can't break through and steal. Paul talks about, he says, it's going to be kind of like wood, hay, and stubble, and gold, silver, and precious stones. Because it's all going to be tried. Every man's work is going to be tried by what? Fire. And that which endures will receive the reward for that. Can you say amen? Amen? We're going to have to give an account before the Lord. Oh, heaven's going to be a glorious place, but we're going to have to give an account. Can you say amen? So many times we don't, that's the judgment of believers. But let me encourage you. I know that kind of puts a little chill in our in our hearts, but you don't want to be at the other judgment. Because that's what's known as the great white throne judgment. Unbelievers, backsliders. You make this judgment and it will be too late anyway. You've already lost the case and you're headed for the lake of fire. But you won't be standing before Jesus Christ at this judgment. You'll be standing before the Father himself. Revelation chapter 20. Are y'all still with me tonight? Amen. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. How are we saved? By the blood of the Lamb. Are we saved by our works? The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades, or hell, delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and hell, or Hades, was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone found not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. At the great white throne judgment, there's no mercy. There's no love. There's no grace. It's just judgment. And the Father's judgment would be completely true. Because those who are standing there have already died once. But now they're going to be judged and held accountable for their actions. And then they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. I got a message I preached about called the second death that several years ago. I probably have not had anything shake me as much as when I studied that. Judgment is real, church. Amen. Judgment is real. Judgment is real. It's whose judgment do you want to stand before? Can you say amen? We'll either stand before the Lord, Jesus Christ, or standing before God. There's only one standard that we will be judged by, and that's the Word. That standard is true and pure and powerful and eternal. But the judgment of the Father and of the Son, determined by our action as it relates to Him, as to whether we walked in obedience or not to His will and to His Word for our lives, judgment is real. You know, Jesus talked about the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. And part of the main thing, He says He will convict the righteous. He will convict the world of what? Righteousness, of sin, and what else? Judgment to come. Judgment is real. Judgment is real. Even for Christians, that we're going to stand before the Bema seat of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, we need to keep that in mind, that we're going to have to give an account for our actions. Even though we make heaven, we're still going to have to give an account for our actions. Can you say amen? Judgment is real. These things are very real. Heaven's real. Hell is real. Death is real. The rapture is real. Judgment is real. You and I must make some real decisions in order to make a real heaven and avoid a real hell and overcome real death and go up in a real rapture and hear at the real judgment, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the real joy of the Lord." Can you say amen? The love of God is real. Christ's salvation is real. The power of the Holy Spirit is real. And all the things He's made available to you and I, if we accept and receive and believe and walk in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's only going to be through Jesus Christ as we walk with Him. Because Jesus is the real hope. Jesus gives real peace. He gives real joy. He gives real comfort. He shows us real answers. He gives real strength. He gives real help. Can I tell you, people are looking for something real, and if they're looking for something real, let them find the real in us. Can you say amen? Let them find the answer, and that answer is Jesus Christ. Most of you know I was raised in another denomination. I thank God. I thank God for my Christian upbringing. Brad's laughing. He's the same bunch. I thank God for that. But when I began to be led into Pentecost, I'd heard all the horror stories. Not really horror stories. People just didn't understand. And I didn't understand. But one thing I began to recognize, and when God began to lead me that direction, and I saw some things happen, I realized it was what? Real. And I made this statement, before I ever knew I was even called into the ministry, I made this statement. I said, Lord, I want everything you got, but I want it to be real. Can I tell you, I believe there's a lot of folks out there today that are saying, Lord, I want you to show me. Lead me in the right way, but I want it to be what? Real. Because when someone sees the real, then everything that is fake or phony pales in comparison. Can you say amen? Amen. May they see the real in us. May they see the real through us. Can we just get real, be real? We need to be real. We need to be ready because the real rapture is coming. Can you say amen? Amen. And I'm going to be ready. How about you? I want to encourage you tonight. Let's be real. You don't have to be somebody you're not. Just be who Jesus called you to be. We don't have to settle for anything second rate. We've got the best there is. Can you say amen? Amen. We don't have to make concessions or excuses for His Word. His Word is spirit in His life. It is real. Can you say amen? But those that are hurting need to find something and see something that's real, and they can find it in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And who knows if Jesus has not put you in their path to show them who He really is by being real. I want to tell you that the world can recognize a fake in a heartbeat. Hello? The world can recognize a phony in a heartbeat. But if they can recognize a phony, they can also recognize the genuine. And that's what's going to make a genuine impact on this world, is if we're real. I don't know about you tonight, but I want to be real. I want to be real. I want to be real. Father, in the name of Jesus.